Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a treat this is. I mean, we've given you the full College Game Day experience here on the show this week, and why would we stop now? Jason Fitz does it all for ESPN. He's going to be hosting College Football Live from downtown Memphis at 2 o'clock. He joins us now. Do we have his fiddle? Let's get his fiddle.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, and hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, welcome to Memphis and welcome to our studios.
Man, I'm not going to lie. It feels good to be sitting with everybody hanging out. Like, you know, I tell everybody, I genuinely look like Monday afternoons, I get psyched every week because I know we're going to do this, we're going to hang out. So the minute they said it was coming to Memphis, it's funny because I've been telling everybody for the last week, you know, the fact that last year you guys told me about Darrell Henderson, we latched onto that in College Football
Content. Yes, you
content.
Did.
We tried to give him the
you
love,
awesome
and he deserved it. And
that.
It was, and I'll never forget when the NFL draft happened and Darrell Henderson was picked, and I was hosting with Mina and Field and all
you
these
were
draft
all over
experts.
It.
I'm like, wait, this is my guy.
This is my
I
turn.
Got this.
Let
and to be perfectly transparent, Darrell, if you're listening, I just slid into your DMs. I want you to come on with us tomorrow morning, Countdown to Game Day. But
there you go.
As you should, Darrell, because he repped you last year.
But this is such an amazing moment for this city to have game day. I mean, you think about what it means for the advertisement of the program. I heard you guys talking to Rinaldi about the 10-year plan of where this program, where Memphis sports have gone. And I sat in the production meeting for game day this morning, and we were talking about basketball. Not because we're shorting football, but it was the layer on. It was like, holy cow, by the way, there is a real conversation of
absolutely.
Let's keep an eye on Memphis. Can they go undefeated? How good can Memphis be? Do they have the first pick in the NBA draft? I mean, Memphis and Michigan State and Cassius Winston are going to be the two biggest stories everybody latches onto in college basketball. So it just feels crazy to be saying all this about Memphis. Like, shows you how far it's come.
First time in that program's history it's been in the AP poll on both sides. So you are in literally here,
I mean, this is the
witnessing
golden era.
History in terms of the era that program's in.
Well, and you know, we've all talked before, but when you think about and what Memphis means to Penny and what Penny means to Memphis, like that's what you've got. And I think that's why it's really it's key to look at Memphis football and say, hey, Fuente started this, but, you know, Norvell took it over.
Mm-hmm.
And for that to continue, I say, you know, you have the best combination in coach and program when it personifies a culture. Like Coach O, as much as people might want to make fun of Coach O and the way he talks, when you go down to Louisiana, man, you see why it works.
Absolutely.
Because when he goes into somebody's living room and he speaks about Louisiana and LSU,
he's king now.
And they listen to him speak, they hear him speak, they hear the way, they see the way he presents himself. He is that area. He is that culture.
No question.
It connects. That's what Penny obviously is going to do
for
Memphis.
About it.
But for Norvell to come in and do that and pick that up from Fuente, as impressive as what Justin Fuente did has been, and I wonder how he feels about it now that he's on the hot seat at Virginia Tech. You know, you have to look at the fact that they've been able to sustain that. That means something because now it's not just about the coach.
Yeah.
It's about what's being created here as a program,
is.
And that's powerful.
Does it
is.
Not feel like we're in the presence of a star, though?
Oh,
like, I thought this was going to be all friendly because we talk to you. We talk to you every week. You give us the chance. You're gracious enough to do that. So I thought it was going to be like three best friends. But brother, you have the it has the sort of aura.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You do, man. I don't know if it's kind of coming off you. I don't know if it's the hairs, the tattoos.
Yeah, it's
I think it's that
Raiders
star national
pullover.
Power.
It's Raiders gear. There's a lot of Raiders gear in here.
I have to tell you, there's too much damn Raiders going on in this room right now.
We shared an embrace.
Yeah. No, we did.
We shared an embrace. It's the first time we've ever met.
You're a three-win ball club. My gosh, you get a couple of wins, you get one over the Bears, you start feeling all kind of pride.
We should be a four-win ball club.
Let's also acknowledge the fact that I've sat through years that didn't see three wins, so three wins feels like a luxury.
I mean, they are representing, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't think we'd have three wins at this juncture in the season.
No, neither did I. You think this is bad. Like I've been saying, if the Raiders finish 8-8 somehow miraculously, I'm throwing a one-man confetti parade all over Bristol. Like, I'm going to walk through the ESPN campus with cameras just throwing glitter, and I'm not going to clean it up.
And
like,
And you should, because with as bad as Trubisky's playing, as John Martin pointed out to me the other day.
You should have heard it in the office.
Your first-round pick from the Chicago Bears is starting to look like it might be pretty darn good.
He forgot he was in debt.
I thought he was in debt.
Man, we won't talk about the fact that y'all have our second-rounder, though. Like, you know, that's a later conversation.
That was weird, but that trade's starting to look a lot better for y'all than it did at the time we were killing. No, talking about how gracious you've been, I got a gift for you.
Oh,
by the
ooh.
Way, I hope it's up to your
a
standards.
Gift.
Again,
oh
we're
my.
Talking about
I love
it.
Gifts.
Sorry,
you come to
I'm all
gifts.
In on
a gift.
We share a mutual love, you and I, for Prince.
Oh my
and,
God! Yeah.
From a local artist, a great local artist by the name of Ron Olson. Our listeners will know who he's from. This is one of his pieces, dearly beloved, and I'd like to give it to you because I know how much.
Are you serious?
You
this is awesome.
I mean, I've hoped it was worthy enough.
Yours,
seriously,
Vince.
You're a national star.
This is
it's an honor
awesome.
That you'll accept it. Hopefully, you can use it.
I
know
frame
you love
this and
Prince.
Put this up, man. This is yeah.
We know you're musically inclined. I figured you'd appreciate it. That is from the Jason and John show to
absolutely.
You as just a thank you. For everything you've done for the show last year and a half, dude.
I am speechless.
Seriously.
I'm awe inspired.
Well,
this is amazing.
Ron Olson, a great artist.
You are a talented man. This is.
He'll appreciate you
but,
saying
but
that.
But you're gassing him
incredible.
Up a little too much. Let's just kind of end it there.
Okay, Ron Olson, you're pretty good. But this is incredible. I can't
dearly
say
beloved.
Thank you enough. This is absolutely insane.
I figured you might like it. I figured that's a thank you.
This is amazing.
I'll put it right here.
Where else? What other city can you go to and get gifts?
This is the Southern hospitality that we talk about.
Well, no.
Yeah,
I absolutely love coming on the show. I love you guys. I love Memphis. And, you know, I am such a believer in first-time effect of game day.
No doubt.
Man, I am excited. Like, obviously, I'm hosting College Football Live. Shameless plug. I'm down today, 2
we'll
p.m. We're doing the taping. But I'm hosting that. It's a little bit of a sneak peek. But, man, tomorrow on Beal, like, you know, this is just such a great, great moment for the city to show off. The one thing I'll tell everybody, I'll give everybody one behind-the-scenes thing. As the show goes on, everybody gets a little bit too inebriated. Like, we'll admit that. Some places they get a little too warm. They get a little tired. In the third hour, I'm going to be the guy that's on the mic during all the commercials. I stay through the whole broadcast yelling at everybody saying, let's make some noise. This is one of the few places I'm not worried about it.
No,
because when you turn, or like, you just look behind the stage, they're opening all the bars early. I'm more worried about the opposite. It's like, let's help everybody stay standing.
Exactly.
You know, that's
keep everybody straight. Looks like it's going to look like the draft.
Yeah,
it's the draft in Nashville.
It is.
That's the point Rinaldi, I think, made. He's like, it's going to be like Nashville when they had the draft.
Well, and that's what's going to be electric about it, right? I mean, and that's where the opportunity is to come off and show off. Because, you know, so many college football nuts this week that are complaining about the fact that we're not at Florida, Georgia. Which, you know, frankly, my dislike of Florida Georgia Lions music is a reason not to go to the Florida Georgia game.
Oh, wow, a little
life.
Shade there.
A little shade.
A little shade.
But that aside, the guys are great, sure. But that aside, you know, when you think about what that game is, and last year that we went, game day was there. I wasn't there with game day, but I've heard that the crowd wasn't great. And so I'll say the same thing to you guys that I said to South Dakota last week on site when we were in South Dakota. For every single college football fan that had something nasty to say about coming to that city, you show them why in the broadcast. And this broadcast is going to show them why, because that's what everybody feeds off. That's what Reese feeds off. And I can hear the guys in my ears during the broadcast. And when there's energy from the crowd, man, it changes the whole broadcast.
What are the reviews that you've gotten so far from your peers about Memphis and just sort of the way the city has approached and embraced you guys?
Excitement, you know, and ease of working, you know, and this – the announcement was a little delayed. It had everybody freaking out.
Yes.
But the one thing that I'll say about it is there was attention to detail in getting it right. And so what would we rather have? You know, you make the announce and then all of a sudden everybody's scrambling, or you make sure you've got everything tightened up and then you get it right. And that's what they've done. I mean, ever since this was announced, the load-in has been easy. And it's funny because it's a little bit smaller. We've talked about how gargantuan the set usually is. They've packed it in order to get it into
the
end of
the deal. Yep.
But what makes so much sense about that is it's compromised. Like, it's a little bit smaller than ESPN's used to, but it puts it in a better location. And it's a little inconvenient for Memphis, but it puts it in the right location. And that's ultimately, that's the three-hour commercial that everybody cares about. That's what we're going to get.
So let me ask you this. I'm curious. I think everybody that's a part of this broadcast, I'm pretty sure, maybe other than Chris, has come on this station. Like, everybody has been on a radio show. Rinaldi and Kirk and Desmond and obviously you. And so I feel like everybody other than Chris has been on. Is that like that every city? Like, is there the blitz sort of locally that there has been here in Memphis?
No. It's unusual. I was surprised when I found out everybody was coming on over. You know, it's you guys are the first station that's even reached out to me and said, hey, you know, we'd love to have Kirk on. Like, that's not that's a little bit of the synergy that I think it shows how much all of this means to everybody.
First time thing,
and
it's more important.
That's so true. Like,
true.
You know, we haven't been to Columbus yet this year, and everybody's flipping out. When are we going to go to Ohio State?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that I've heard through the grapevine from a lot of different people that some of the places that have had it a million times, they just it just doesn't resonate as much. I think
you Jacksonville pulling you on the radio to talk about it if you come down there. But with all due respect, they've seen it.
Well, and the other side of it is, to be real, I mean, if you're the Herb Streets of the world, if you're the Rinaldis of the world, you have they're slammed and they're putting this show together. They don't have to go on this.
Well,
they're doing it because
you got a show in a couple hours.
But this tells everybody what Memphis means to ESPN too, which is really part of the cool part of it. And again, I think it comes back to Memphis athletics as a whole right now is on such a hot streak.
Poppin'.
Everybody's looking at it saying, "Man, I want to be a part of that." And that's powerful.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
Do you see the difference? Typically, when we talk to Nashville folks, right, it's typically, man, can't stand Memphis. But it's Memphis, Mississippi. You seem to have anytime we've talked to you, you've got a respect, seems like a love for, certainly a respect for the city's history when it comes to musically, all that stuff. Does it feel like a different state when you're in one and the other?
It is a little bit, but part of that's the change in
Memphis
Nashville.
Is its own
like,
thing.
Nashville has become, you know, and I lived in Nashville for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and when I moved to Nashville, Lower Broadway wasn't safe, and you know you didn't go downtown. And
right, it's changed too.
The Preds came to town and they blew everything up in a great way. Sure, it's an awesome city. It's now the number one city for bachelorette parties in America. It's eclipsed
I think
Vegas.
I've heard that stat, but it's still crazy so, here. Yeah,
they have like the mobile hot tubs.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it is.
It's all of it. I mean, basically, you got great live music downtown,
right.
And no cover at any of the bars and. But the days of being able to go get a ton of food for $5 and a beer for $2.50 are gone.
It's a mini Vegas.
And so with that comes, you know, there's a little bit of consequence to that. Like one of the beasts that the Titans face are the people that there are about 100 people a day moved to Nashville. They're not Titans fans. So they're Raiders fans or they're Broncos fans or they're Cowboys fans. So there isn't this big home field advantage for the Titans.
Exactly.
Now, there is a love for a lot of people that moved to Nashville moved there because they think it's such a cool city.
Uh-huh.
So there's a love for Nashville. But I would say that in the last 10 years, Nashville has changed so much. I don't even know that Nashville feels like it resonates with Tennessee as a whole anymore because it's such a it's more like Charlotte and Atlanta than
that's
it is the rest
point.
Of the state.
Yeah, that's a great point about that city.
We got the great Jason Fitz here in studio. He's spending some time with us, a very busy man. So what does, like, I'm just curious, what does your day look like when you are here in Memphis or on site? Like, what time are you getting up? What time are you going to bed? Like, what does that Friday before game day look like for Jason Fitz?
So most of us around Countdown to Game Day come in on Thursday, and we'll spend typically, this week was Halloween, a lot of changes for the schedule, but typically you come in on Thursday. You might pre-tape a couple segments around town on Thursday, and then that gives you a little minutes worth of content for social and for Countdown to Game Day, which, by the way, you can check out 7:30 a.m. local time tomorrow morning everywhere you live stream your ESPN.
I need to get as good as you.
Then what happens
what
happens on Friday is I get up for First and Last, the radio show from 4 to 5 local.
Yep.
So I'm usually at about 3:15 a.m. I go to the site of Game Day and I sit on the set of Game Day and do it outside because none of the offices are open yet. So I do that, and then I do Golic and Wingo throughout the course of Golic and Wingo from there with a little camera. And then I go into the production office. There's a production meeting for game day, and they spend – it's the coolest thing ever to me. Like the first time I did it, I sat on a little chair in the side of the room. The first time they actually let me sit at the big table, I felt like such a grown-up. But there's a massive conference table that has – everybody you see on game day and then all the major producers, all the heads of college football, like every boss at ESPN sits at one huge table and they spend an hour and a half just going through, here's everything we're talking about. Now, Reese and the producers, Jimmy G and Drew Gallagher, the producers of the show, have already spent days in meetings. So this hour and a half is really going through and saying, okay, we're going to talk about this. What are the thoughts? What are we missing?
Mm-hmm.
At what order are we going to go in? Does anybody have big debates? And they spend an hour, hour and a half going through the whole game day show. I'm a part of that because A, I want to help them with any social ideas that come, and then B, we take some of that and then we apply it to Countdown to Game Day, our show. So after that, we have our own production meeting for Countdown to Game Day. We do whatever pre-tapes we have to do during the course of the Friday, and we hope to be done by 4 or 5 usually on a Friday so that our guys can have all Friday night to edit.
Yeah.
Our editing guys stay up until 2 in the morning.
Good
and
grief.
Then tomorrow, Countdown to Game Day is at 7:30, so I'll get to the game day site 5:30 probably.
Ooh.
And we'll do a couple of pre-tapes for Facebook and for our show that about 1 million people a week watch. We have to pre-tape some elements for Facebook in the crowd with everybody. So
that is awesome.
Like we run, I mean, I run from
the production
from 5:30 a.m. until 8 a.m. It doesn't stop for me. And then at 8, I take a 10-minute break and then I come out and during the commercials of game day, I'm there to do interviews or trivia or hype the crowd or, you know, throw pies in people's faces, whatever it takes every time we go to commercial to keep the crowd energized. And that's, you know, my contribution off air to game day until I can get to the point that hopefully I can make an on-air contribution during game day proper on TV. So, you know, it's like sort of that's sort of me paying my dues with the game day crew. And then when we finish it at 11 o'clock local, for a lot of guys, they immediately go to the airport and they fly out because you got to start working on the next site.
Right.
For me, a lot of times I'll stick for the game because I have to do more digital work. So my Fridays are usually, they start at 3:15 a.m.
Yeah.
And they're done by 7 or 8 p.m. And my Saturday starts at 5:30 a.m. and usually ends at about midnight. So that's Friday and Saturdays are my big, they're my big days. Sunday is when I usually fly home, and I always book a flight that gets me home in time for the Raiders. Thank you.
You know, Mike, one of the reasons we think they're going to end up paying you millions.
He's like a white Michael Strahan.
Seriously. One is because you're so good on everything, right? You can throw it. No question. This is not just a build-up to something. I'm really curious about the answer, and I think our listeners would appreciate it. Anybody that wants to do what you do, how much do you have to read? How much a day are you taking in stuff? Because to have something to say about everything, like it seems like you do, and be fair and know what you're talking about and have the tone, you gotta read. And I'm imagining you must be doing that at all times as well. For the folks that want to do what you do, it's got to be a big part of the schedule too.
I mean, first you have to join a band.
First you join a band. And then,
you got to be reading every damn thing out there.
Yeah, for prep, I watch as much and I read as much as I can. So I try to watch every NFL game I know we're going to talk about, which means on Sundays I spend as much time in front of as many games as I can.
What I'm talking about. This is real, yeah.
And then Monday after Golic and Wingo, I usually go back and rewatch every major game that I didn't feel like I had enough sense of.
Nobody's doing that.
You know,
John.
You do that.
The pros, great ones do this.
Yeah, I'm not getting up at 3 o'clock.
This is what it takes.
And then the flip side of it is college football is its own beast, and
right?
So I got to make sure that I'm ready for that. So then you start prep Monday night usually for what did I miss in college football and what haven't I seen yet. So Monday, Tuesday is a little bit of that, you know, and then Tuesday – you're sort of catching up from whatever Monday Night Football gave you. Now we're in the heat of the NBA season, so I'll probably have, you know, prep time is what I would say. Wednesday afternoons and Friday afternoons will be my watch NBA time and get as caught up as I can. And then you're just trying to hold on to as much. The lucky thing for National is that we know certain teams are always going to be a story. So I always have to watch the Cowboys, even if I don't care.
Some go-tos, you know, that you're always going
to
have.
But we know that we're not likely to talk about the Titans, you know. So at this point, you know, I had a really smart analyst, I won't throw him under the bus, tell me a few years ago, one of the things he loves about the NFL is by midseason you only have to watch half the games because the other half you know you won't talk about. That's real.
Solid
for National.
Point. Yeah,
you know?
And true.
So you try and I try and prioritize those and then get through the rest. And that's the best – the best way I can hang on to it.
Well, you do a smooth job with it, brother.
Thanks. I think the biggest thing, too, for me is I know exactly what I'm here to do. So I'm here 90% of the time to be a host. So I've got to know the tendencies of the guys. Like today I'm working with Dez and I'm working with Pollock. Those two know more football than I'm ever going to learn. So it's not my job today to be an expert on College Football Live. It's my job to know concisely how to get a topic set up and get it thrown over to somebody that's smarter than me. And then if I disagree, I'll push them. Or if I feel like they're leaving meat on the bone, as we always say, I'll push them to give me more. But today for College Football Live, I'm not here to be an expert on today's matchup particularly.
Sure.
I'm here to make sure that I get them into
expert
being the
getting
experts.
Getting it to them.
Right. So
absolutely.
Every show you do is a little bit different.
We got the great Jason Fitz here in studio. Obviously, countdown to game day tomorrow, but College Football Live taping today at 2. You want to get involved and go down to Beale Street and get involved in that taping. On what can you say? I know, you know, obviously there's been no announcement, but what can you say about the guest picker? There is an insane amount of interest in who that's going to be because, really, it's an important role. There are so many people to pick from Memphis, who have gone to that school. What can you tell us about that side of it?
Well, it's funny because I've been helpful at times when they've hit me up and said, hey, what about this? Like, especially when it's a music act, I'll get hit up a lot of times.
Yep.
I don't know. I genuinely don't know the guest picker until Fridays. Usually just like I don't know where we're going 99% of the time.
That's
until,
so crazy to me, like an unwritten
Sunday.
Script.
Yeah.
That just, you know,
you
find out as it goes.
You just don't. The number of times I've seen the tweet and then it's like, all right, I better go book plane tickets now. But for the guest picker, I will say this. They didn't hit me up this week. So that to me tells me it's not going to be anybody involved with country music because usually they hit me up and say, hey, do you know or is this person good with, unless it's somebody they've had a bunch of times.
Right.
You know, again, humble brag. I went to high school with one of the guys in NSYNC, and they didn't hit me up. So I, you know, I have a direct line to Timberlake.
Know that about him.
So I don't feel like.
Who did you go to high school with?
I went to high school with JC Chazé.
Really?
Yeah, JC's. Although that's a weird thing because his name is Josh, right? Josh Chazé, and he was on the Mickey Mouse Club with another buddy of mine, and there was another Josh, so they named him JC. And then NSYNC started, and it was JC for Josh Chazé. And then NSYNC started, and it was JC Chazé, which never made any sense to me because that would mean JC, like Josh Chazé Chazé. Like, that doesn't make, it doesn't make any sense. But
boy band.
Yeah, you never know. But they never hit me up. So, you know, I thought maybe I would get that. That's one I thought might be on the radar. So I don't think that would be my best guess is it's not there. So what I know is that whenever we go someplace new, if they can, they try and find somebody that really resonates with the city. And I also heard a lot of conversation this morning about one thing that I think everybody here should hear is it's already become incredibly known to the guys that put the show together that Memphis really relates to certain people. They have a lot of pride in certain people, and people have pride in the community.
Yep.
And I thought that was interesting that you know, because a lot of the guys that are in that conference, I mean, they haven't spent time like we have together. They may not know Memphis as well. So the fact that in just a few short days, they were talking about how connection to the city is so important.
Yep.
I don't know, but I feel like they're going to hit a home run. I really do. So
I think it will be.
I feel good about it.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. Now, we have sort of been in contact about maybe some things that you might feature, you might not feature. How do you sort of work your way? Because, I mean, there's a million things. You know, we took calls on this subject yesterday on the show. You know, what would you like to see featured? What needs to be featured? And you're going to get 15 million submissions. Mm-hmm. So how do you work your way through, you know, institutions and things that people feel like should be, and you only got a minute, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part. You know, when you guys were just talking to Tom Rinaldi, as I was zooming through traffic, I was listening to Tom, who's, by the way, a brilliant and wonderful human being. But when you were listening, or when he was talking to you guys, one of the things I thought that was really important that he said is you only have you have such limited time to tell the story.
Yep.
And the fact that we all know, like I joke with Tom that, you know, he's the best at making everybody in the world cry, and he does it in a minute or under. Yeah, I mean, like that is a skill in and of itself. And, you know, last week what we did, we were in South Dakota, and the Brookings, South Dakota is the place that invented cookies and cream ice cream. And so we found out that they're really passionate about that. Well, the week before, we had done the creamery at Penn State because people were really passionate about that. We didn't want to do ice cream 2 weeks in a row. So our idea was, let's have Rinaldi voice a piece on ice cream, which he ended up doing for the digital show. And I watched him work, and it was maybe the most brilliant minute I've ever seen in my life because he had me in my feels about cookies and cream ice cream by the end of it. So, you know, sometimes it comes into what really resonates with people. But I think the hardest part of it is, what story can you tell the best in 60 seconds that really does justice? And I think the other hard part about for us, for Digital Game Day tomorrow, the other hard part about this is I've been really protective of, I think there's a story to tell in just showing the fandom tomorrow. And that, like, to some people, it feels like a cop-out when you walk out and talk to the fans. I feel like it's the best opportunity for a fan base to show off in a big, big way.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're on Beal and you've got fans everywhere, the one line I think we have to walk as a show is what's more important, cutting away for 60 or 90 seconds to show a little character of Memphis or staying in the character of Memphis while we're there and showing the moment and the atmosphere. So, you know, that's and we still haven't come up with the answer. We just we've had a couple of text threads with my entire production side for that. With our entire production side for that show. And that's been the great line is like, okay, this feels like a great idea, but is it better than letting the kids and the fans and the people that have waited their whole lives for Memphis football to be relevant? You know, is that a more powerful story? I don't know the answer to that. Well, we may not even know for a couple hours. We're still debating.
On that point, like, I think for these fans specifically, there was a game, we talked about it with Rinaldi, there was a game on your network where there were 4,000 people in those stands. And there were calls for that program to be shut down, to do what UConn just did, right? To drop down a level or go into better or whatever.
It's considered serious.
And people were like, let's just throw everything we got into basketball. Let's just put it in basketball because that's where we can win a championship. And from those 4,000 to go to a sellout, a non-SEC team sellout this weekend to have you here, to have game to here. I mean, I think there is real value in this fan base and sort of their loyalty to that program when a lot of other schools probably would have pulled out.
Well, yes, I agree with that, and I think that's a big part of what we have to make sure is apparent to everybody over the course of the next 48 hours. The other thing is that Memphis and SMU together are carrying a flag that's been dropped by UCF. And, you know, I don't want the lack of UCF's greatness right now to suddenly end a conversation that's an important one, which
well
is
said.
How in the heck can a school like Memphis, and this is something that, you know, I haven't even talked to Pollock tomorrow for Countdown to Game Day, but one of the things I'm absolutely going to cue him up that I want to have a serious conversation about is, you know, how does a school like Memphis or SMU get into this? Because SMU right now is undefeated. And as you guys mentioned, Cincinnati, Memphis, they're all teams that hold their own destiny in their own hands. But if SMU runs the gauntlet, they go undefeated.
No,
they got no shot.
So how do you recruit?
And that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. So if I love the fact that the committee should be looking at the four best teams. I believe in that process and that structure. But is it not a failed structure that automatically eliminates so many teams from having just the opportunity to play in a playoff? And I don't know the solution to that, but that's one of the things that I think we have to make sure tomorrow gets told repeatedly, because
I'm glad you're on that.
You know, it matters. It matters. Like Memphis, for the thought that I know Memphis dropped a game and they've won some close ones this year. So it's been
they were robbed.
They were. You know, karma sort of maybe helped them out last week.
It bounced out. No question.
But you have to look at this and say, man, if Memphis were undefeated, how angry would everybody listening right now be at the fact that they're not in the conversation?
Nobody's seriously concerned them.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell a kid, hey, come here and play for me. You can win a national championship. That's what makes this so much more special outside that power. What SMU, you got to give them the credit to. But the fact that you've got to go out and recruit and tell them, well, listen, you can be the next Daryl Henderson. You can be the next Anthony Miller. That's what you're selling more so than anything else. And so the job they've done to build it up, I think we don't take it for. Can you explain this to me, too? Because you're around it. I saw it last week. The McAfee phenomenon, the energy he brings. What is it with this? Is it just natural? Was he born with it? When he walks in, the people go crazy.
He has a level of just
a lot of star power for a punter.
He just doesn't care like about anything or what anybody thinks. And you know, everybody always asks me in music what it factor is. And I really thought for the longest time, for the longest time I didn't have it. For the longest time, I was a very, very good musician and really accomplished. But I was trying to be my own artist, and record labels used to always come back and they would say, "You don't have it. You don't know who you are." And I would get frustrated in the moment. I'm like, "I know exactly who I am." And then I look back on some of those recordings or some of those performances that I have, and it's like, "Oh, I totally understand." There was a moment for me when I was touring with the band Perry, and they wanted to introduce everybody in the band, and they wanted to give all of us our own shine, and they wanted us all to do something spectacular. So. And they were like, "What do you want to do? What's your big moment?" And I said, I can't dance at all. So I was like, "Great, I'll dance." And everyone was like, "Well, you can't dance." And I was like, "That's the whole point. I don't care. I don't care about anything." So I remember one night in front of 50,000 people trying the worm for the first time, finding out that I can't do the worm and just landing flat on my face. And there was a moment for me where, like, I didn't care. And once I didn't care, everything changed.
Man,
it went to a much
senses.
Different level. And, you know, it's so easy, even in this business. Like, I understand that there are a lot of people that are going to question how I got to ESPN. Although I would say that, you know, look at my past. I worked there. Nobody's going to question how I stayed at ESPN because I'm working my butt off, right? But at the end of the day, if you do question it, I don't care.
You can't give a damn. Like, that's liberation.
I'm working
hard.
Free. And that's what I see every time Pat McAfee walks in the room. He has a level of, I'm a punter, and you want to make fun of me, and I don't care.
Right.
And it's so engaging, and it just sort of disarms whatever the hate is, that then people just love. Like, I think he really is the spokesman for every person that ever feels like they couldn't stand up and just be wild and crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Pat. Whatever it is, he says, I'll do it.
To it. You're dead on.
That is,
and that's
it,
the epitome of cool.
Comfort,
not caring.
Comfort in yourself. And like when you just don't care.
Yep.
That's the thing that we like. It was always the guy in high school that had no career, but he just walked in and didn't care about anything, and every girl loved him, right? And then there's the guys like me over there that I'm like, hey, I'm doing really well in school, and like I'm really good classical musician. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But no, I think you have to have that level of just don't care, and that's what McAfee has. And man, it is I love working with that guy. I love working with that guy.
All right, if you can hang out, Fitz, the College Game Day picker has been announced. We got to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll get into that. And maybe we'll ask some tough questions about who's not the guest picker. I don't know. We'll get into it. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN is Memphis's game day station.
I hope you want a little yin in your yin-yang. I hope you want a little zing
in your zang-zang.
Saturday morning, live from Beale Street, it's Reese, Kirk, Desmond, Lee Corso, Tom Rinaldi, Gene, and Maria Taylor, along with 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason Fitz from Golic and Wingo. Yeah, they're coming, and we're the station. 92.9 FM ESPN. Game day. Hear it right here, only on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah, we're coming to your city.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.